Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And Des is back with the sports news.
Yeah, and very busy weekend on you. It began last night with Shamrock Rovers getting a great win in the Europa Conference League. They came from a goal down to beat the Welsh side, the New Saints 2-1. Goals from Johnny Kenny and Dylan Watts before halftime earned Rovers another win and another €400,000. They've 7 points from their opening three fixtures now in the competition. They're inching closer to becoming the first League of Ireland club to reach the knockout stages since the introduction of the group league phases. We'll have more on this in a moment with Paul, but elsewhere in that competition, Larne were beaten 2-1 in Belfast by St Gallen. Chelsea were 8-0 winners against FC Noah from Armenia, and Hearts beaten 2-0 at home by Heidenheim. In the Europa League, Amad Diallo scored both second half goals as Manchester United beat PAOK 2-0 at Old Trafford. Tottenham lost 3-2 in Turkey against Galatasaray, and Rangers earned a 1-1 draw in Greece with Olympiacos. In the English Championship, West Brom and Burnley drew 0-0. But let's reflect now on the significance of that Shamrock Rovers win with Paul Curry. They played well, Paul.
They certainly did, Des, and you mentioned there, like, to come from behind in Europe is not an easy thing to do, and Shamrock Rovers, I guess, showed great composure. They showed the momentum behind this side at the moment with 6 wins on the bounce in both the league and European competitions, and Stephen Bradley's side deserve a huge amount of credit, and they've put themselves in a brilliant position to actually qualify out of the league format. But they don't play again, Des, in that competition until the 28th of November, and that is going to cause a little bit of concern, I think, for Stephen Bradley, just with how well they're playing. To keep your levels over that period of time without playing competitive football is certainly not easy.
Okay. Meanwhile, focus now turns to this FAI Cup final Sunday, where Derry City are hot favourites against Drogheda. Any chance of a Drogheda upset here?
Potentially. I mean, this is definitely the standout day in the diary for the domestic football calendar, and Sunday will very much be about which Derry side show up. I mean, their league form has been very patchy. They've only 2 wins in the last 11 games, but the cup has brought out the best in Roy Higgins' side. They've knocked out Shells, Bowes, Pats and Cork en route to this final. So I guess if they are to be anywhere near their best, and if they do impose themselves on the game like they did in the final 2 years ago against Shells, I would be shocked if Derry didn't win this game. The big pitch at Lansdowne plays into their hands with how they like to play possession-based football, and they've plenty of match winners in the squad. The likes of Michael Duffy, Patrick McElhenney and co can produce big moments to get you over the line. So I do find it hard to see beyond Derry. That said, if they're a little bit off it, Drogheda have shown with certain league results that they're capable of causing a shock. And while you might expect Derry to play expansive possession-based football, expect Drogheda to sit in, not complicate the game, try to feed the two up top with Piero and James Taylor, who've caused teams a lot of problems, and go from there. But I guess you have to remember, Des, Drogheda did finish 21 points behind Derry in the league. They only won 7 of 36 league games. So a win on Sunday for Kevin Doherty's men would certainly be a massive, massive shock.
Okay, Paul Curry, thanks a million for joining us. Now, tonight, what a big game we have in Dublin. The All Blacks sell-out test match at the Aviva. And Ireland have won 5 of our last 9 games against the All Blacks, which compares well with the previous 100 years. But crucially, New Zealand have beaten Ireland in each of the last 2 World Cup finals. We're live radio coverage on RT Radio 1. Kickoff is at 8:10. And Michael Corcoran will be our commentator. He joins us now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Hello, Des. How are you?
Good, thank you. Can I put a point to you? You were talking about it earlier with Caelan Dorris. What's your view? Is it an advantage or disadvantage that we're going into this when the All Blacks have a couple of games already under their belt?
My personal opinion is that it's a disadvantage. You know, we have a couple of players who are coming in as well off the back of injury and haven't played for a long time. Ronan Keller being one. So a bit of pressure on him, especially when you've an issue with your ankle in terms of scrummaging. And I think that's an area that the All Blacks will try to exploit. I mean, Kenan made the point that it's probably coming to the end of the season for New Zealand as well, but they have, you know, they have that collectivity in terms of the number of matches that they've played together. And it's a first start for Ireland of the season since the win last time out against South Africa in South Africa. So I think New Zealand will have that slight advantage there.
You mentioned the front row there. How significant is the absence of Tadhg Furlong?
I think it's pretty significant, but it's happened before. We're used to it. You know, Finlay Beelam has had to deputise for Tadhg on quite a few occasions in the past. I refer back to the Leinster-Munster match at Croke Park, and coming out of there that night, given the way that Leinster had a couple of problems in the scrum up against the Munster front row, I was thinking to myself that if you were the All Blacks coaching team, you'd be looking at Andrew Porter and Tadhg Furlong. Even I know Tadhg isn't playing tonight, but that's probably an area that they would see that they could maybe get an in, if you understand what I mean, against against Ireland, win some penalties. I don't think that's changed. I think it's been well telegraphed that Tadhg has been out for a bit, so it's not as if he's just dropped out this week. But Finlay Beelam has proven in the past that he's more than capable of stepping up.
Okay, they're the areas of concern. Can you see us winning it?
I can, but it's not with a huge degree of confidence, to be perfectly honest about it. We have a lack of game time, which is a problem. But they're without Cody Taylor, they're without Bowden Barrett as well, and Bowden Barrett just brings a calmness to everything that they do. The games between us in terms of the two teams have been very, very tight over the last number of years. But I look at the two benches. Ireland have got a vastly experienced bench. With Peter O'Mahony, Cian Healy, Conor Murray to come on. Between them, they've got 356 test caps. Five of the players on the New Zealand bench have less than 10 caps. And I think if it's in doubt, as the golfers say, coming down the stretch, I think that Ireland's greater match nous and the fact that they have greater experience on the bench could mean that we could get to 20 wins at home in a row, which would be some achievement.
Certainly would. Well, we all look forward to listening to it. Thanks, Michael. It'll be some atmosphere Friday night, 8 o'clock, 10 past 8 kickoff. Elsewhere in golf, Johannes Veerman of the US picked up 5 shots in his first 15 holes of the Abu Dhabi Championship to go to 14 under. Shane Lowry had picked up 1 in the first 6 holes, brings him to 4 under. Big gap. Rory McIlroy starting out on 5 under par for the second round. Tom McKibben going into it on 4 under. In basketball, the young Irish side beaten 85-53 by Latvia in their FIBA Women's Eurobasket qualifier in Riga. And 21-year-old Hazel Finn finishes joint top scorer for Ireland on her debut with 13 points. There were also first caps for 19-year-old Caitlin Glockner and 17-year-old Aisling Moran. Finally, in racing, St. Sam and Paul Townend won yesterday's Grade 2 Clonmel Oil Chase for Willie Mullins. And racing this evening is in Dundalk, beginning at 5 o'clock.